Today's daf is daf tzadi gimel. We're up to the fourth line from the top of the amud. And most of the blat today, we're going to focus on chaylev in the body of the animal, which has to be removed, which may not be eaten. And we're going to have a number of machloikis in as to exactly which chaylev is yah and which chaylev is nisht, as we'll see in the gemara. It's gufa. Amr abba amr of yudah mashmur. Chaylev shabasir choyfe oisai is mutter. Because the Torah always refers to chaylev sha'al. We already quoted the pasuk yesterday. It says the gabay, the chalovim, the aymerin that you have to put on the mizbeach. The eishtei akloyos. The eshachaylev asher alehen. Asher alak solim. This he said is alak kovet, alak loyos. The hikrim is ever chashlom ishla Hashem eshachaylev amachase eshakerev. Everything is on top of. So if you have chaylev shabasar choyfa oisai, if you have chaylev where the basar is covering it up, mutter, then that is not considered to be chaylev that you put on the mizbeach by a carbon, and therefore it's not chaylev by chulin, and you're allowed to go and eat it.
In your day, you find when Mishyashev says certain things, there are more, by the way, he says, it's mutter because it's chaylev shabos chayf,
chayf ois.
Yeah, right.
Very good.
The Beis Yosef goes into all kinds of details and says also, okay. And the Ramah is martyr.
We're going to have a whole bunch of details today too. Break Gemara, Amy. How did Shmuel say that as long as the basar is chayf is covering the chaylev, it's mutter? Amr of Abba, Amr of Yudam, Shmuel. The same Shmuel said, Haytarba de tusi masni osir. That if you have chaylev underneath the loins of the animal, masnaim are loins, then it's also either loins cover over the chaylev. Amar Abaye, the chaylev b'chaya peruke mifrika. When the behemoth is alive, then its limbs and bones move back and forth. Meaning that whilst it's walking, then the loins have a tendency of moving here and there and up and down and back and forth. And there are times when the chaylev is not covered by the loins, but the chaylev is in fact uncovered inside the animal. So although after the shechita, when you cut open the animal, you find that this chaylev is beneath the loin. But when the animal was alive, often this chaylev was visible within the animal, and therefore it's not considered to be chaylev shabasar choyfa oisai.
So why don't you stress the mitzias when you do the after shkita and you see the behema? You should decide as what you see, not what something that's going on. I mean, when you find these after you shechta, you take a look at the behema. If you find that the chaylev is basar choyfa oisai, it should be mutter. Why do you have to go?
That was the first shmuel. But the second shmuel says that because of the fact that whilst the animal is alive, there are times where the chaylev is visible. It's not considered to be chaylev shabasa choyf oisai. If you look at the Rashi Pruki Mifrika, go down about 5-6 lines lower than our Gemara, Pruki Mifrika, kishi hayleches, when the animal is walking, evoreha noim, then the evorim are moving, v'hamosnayim, as well as the loins, pa'om shein mshachim klapei mala, sometimes they are moving up, v'haksolim, and the flanks, nimshachim klapei mata, go in a downward direction, then the chaylev nichse behen, and at that point the chaylev is not covered because of the fact that the loins are in one direction, flank in the other direction, you're able to see the chaylev, therefore it's not chaylev shabasa chayfa oisai. That's why Shmuel says that it's awesome. Back to the Gemara, Om Rabbi Yochanan, Ano lav tavchano, I'm not a butcher, but lav bar tavchano, I'm not even the son of a butcher. When you hear it, but I remember, I remember when I was a kid. That's how we learned in Bismanish. That this is an exception to the normal rule of the basar. The chaylev shabasar choyfa oisai, because the animal moves and then the chaylev is visible. Omer Babar Meyudah Mishmuel. Write the Nochamu memories from the same Babar Meyudah Mishmuel. Chaylev shal hemsis ul beis hakoisis asurin v'onish koris v'zeu chaylev shal akerif. Torah says among the Aymerin is the Chaylev Hamachase Es HaKerev V'yez Kol HaChaylev Asher Al HaKerev. The Kerev means the innards of the animal, and the innards can have different interpretations, different definitions. The way Shmuel is defining Al HaKerev, that it includes the Hemsis and Beis HaKoisis. Rashi says it's not only the Hemsis and Beis HaKoisis, it certainly also includes other chalavim that, for instance, are on the keiva, or as we'll see later on the dakin. But what Shmuel is trying to tell us is even the chaylev which is on the hemsis and basic kaisis. You'll recall that an animal has four different stomachs. One is the keres, one's the hemsis, one's basic kaisis, and one is the keiva. So Shmuel is telling us that the chaylev which is on the hemsis, the basic kaisis, is also considered to be chaylev she'al hakerev, and therefore it's aser, it's anishkaris, and that's among the chalavim that you have to put on the mizbeach. Amr Baba Meyura Mishmuel, Haitarba Dikli Busta is Asur, Va'anish Karis. Mizel Chaylev She'al Haksal. Is another Pasik, Ve'ishte Hakloyes, Ve'esa Chaylev Asharalein, Asher Al Haksalin. That is again a Pasik that tells you the Chalovim, the Eimerin that you put on the Mizbeach. So Shmuel tells us now that the Chaylev which is on the Kli Busta, what says the Kli Busta? Rashi says it's an etzim kotenhu. It's a small bone. Umunach al etzim shekoyden hanka. It's on top of the hip bone. Umechuber lechuyes alya milmala. And it's attached to the end of the spinal cord, to the last vertebrae, as it spreads out and branches out to the alya, to the tail and back. All of yeshchilev tachas roisha mesed shekoyden lumba. And there this chedev underneath the masnaim, underneath the loins, besides the limbo. Anyways, this kli busta is a small little bone, and this chedev on top of that bone, and this bone is at the end of the spinal column next to the tail. That chedev is also on his cards. The chedev shall
sacrum.
I'm sorry?
Well, the sacrum.
The sacrum. Oh, the last vertebrae of the spinal column is called the sacrum. Shkoyah. The threads that permeate, that go through the front legs of the animal, those are osir. Now the Gemara is assuming at the moment that the reason why the osir is because these are threads that have the threads of chelif. It's Omer of Safra. Safra said, Moshe! Moshe is a title, says Rashi, meaning Talmud Chochem. Even though Shmuel's name was not Moshe. But the reason we call Moshe is mean Moshe Iyu Tamad Chacham Miyom Rachmona Leitechel Bisra. I don't understand what you're talking about. These threads that go through the yad, through the front legs, this is Bosar. I don't see any. It's not even white. It's reddish. And you're telling me that this is the status of Chaylis? Omar Ravasi answered him back and he said, Moshe. In other words, he gave him back the same compliment. Miyom Rachmona Achoyel Dama. I wasn't talking about chaylev. The problem with the chutin was that they have dam in them. That's why they take a look red. You know what you got to do? Chatchei, go and cut through them. Umalchein do malicha. Afilik deira nami shabbat dam. And then you'll be able to even use it for a kedera. Meaning, not only for tzli, but even for kedera for cooking.
So you see, he says what you should do? He says cut them.
So correct.
By Nikur, it's easy that the Shulchan Aruch says, either you cut the Gidei Nam or you remove Gidei Nam.
Uh-huh, 100%, okay? That's what we're talking about.
But the OU goes and makes a video and says you have to remove all of them.
I don't know about the OU, but according to Agamar is saying...
It's to the Shulchan Aruch too, not only against the Shulchan Aruch.
Probably the people in the OU probably looked at the Shulchan Aruch once in a while.
Once more.
I don't know. Anyway,
every
but Maisa, Agamar tells us that the chutim that you have in the yad are also not because of chelu, but because of dam, and therefore they are easily curable, as opposed to chelu that you have to remove. You're talking about dam at times, like Rabbi Cohen said, what you have to do is just cut through it and do the malicha, and that removes the dam. Normally, by a regular piece of meat, you don't have to cut every single little piece of meat. You can put even large pieces of meat for malicha. But chutei dam, then you have to make sure to cut them to get the blood out. Amr Yehuda Mishmuel, Reish Me'aya Bi'amsa Bo'i Greira. The word Reish Me'aya means the beginning of the Me'ayim. Me'ayim means the intestines. The beginning of the intestines. Where they leave the keva. As you know, if you look in the body of the animal, after you go through the four separate stomachs, the keres, the hemsis, the basakoisis, and the keva is the final one. From the keva, where does the food or where does the waste go further? It goes into the intestines. The intestines is called the b'nei me'ayim. So the b'nei me'ayim, the resh me'aya, be amsa boy greya. The first amma, as it leaves the keva, the chelev on top of that, for one amma's length, boy greya, you have to remove all of that chelim. This is the chelim which is on top of the dakin. A machlok is exactly between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, says Rashi, back on Daf Memtes, where this is chelim that did go on the mizbeach or didn't go on the mizbeach. Machlok Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. Anyway, but this is the definition of chelim shal dakin, that first amma of the Bnei Miayim. The Omer of Yehuda, chutin sheba ukitz asurin. Chutin, the threads that you find in the ukitz are asur. What exactly is the ukitz? The Gemara explains. First of all, there are chamisha chuti ispe. There are five of these chutin. Where do you find them? The klaf, the kafla, klosa miyamina, the tarati mismala. You find them in the kafla. Kafla are the flanks, the flankin. Flankin are the sides of the animal. Plus mimina, three on the right hand side, tied to the smaller two on the left hand side.
Is that what we call flankin bones of use for chunks?
No.
It's not the same thing?
The flankin we use, you understand? There's flankin in the hind quarter,
what?
And there's flankin in the front part. The front part, what you call the flankin,
that's
a piece of meat with bones.
Right, that's what he's
flankin.
Talking about. The one that you put in the chunk.
The flankin that you have in the hind quarter
or in the
doesn't
soup.
Have any bone at all.
Uh-huh.
And that cooks at all?
No, it's from the hind quarter.
Right. Hind quarter, you throw it, you don't use it, they give it to
that's
the goyim,
okay.
Or they give it to for dog food or whatever happens to
be. What? You don't throw anything out?
They don't throw it out, they don't give it, but the Jews don't eat it.
Goyim are allowed to eat it.
Yeah, they sell it to the Gentiles.
Yeah.
Exactly. But don't be upset. Okay, anyway, you're not upset, it's all good. Anyway, Islamaisis, so these chutah which are in the kafla and the flankin, then the three on one side, two on the other side, said Rav Yehuda are osir. Now, the Gemara tells us further. The three chutin that you have on the right hand side, they branch out into even smaller chutin, which are two each. And the tray, the two that you have on the left hand side, niftzali, they branch out into threes. So therefore you have an interesting way of looking at the chutin. Here's sort of three, they branch out into two, they have two, branch out into three. Zokimara, nafkimina. The Gemara is telling us is, if you get quickly into the innards of the animal whilst it's still warm, in other words, shortly after Shechita, you can easily remove all of these chutim just by kind of giving a schlep. You get the two on this side, three on that side, it all comes out nicely. However, if you let the animal cool a little bit, and so then the chalev starts turning from liquid to a solid, then it's much more difficult to remove these chutin. Therefore, at that point, then you have to go and start cutting them out, and that's why it's important for you to know that this three divides into two, and the two divides into three, when you're trying to remove them. There are five threads in the body of the animal that you have to be careful about. Three have to be careful because they are chaylev, utrei mishum doma, and two of these chutim of these threads, you have to worry about dam. In the tachli udekafli udekul yosa mishum tarba, from the tchoil is the spleen, kafli are the flankin, udekul yosa and the kidneys, mishum tarba. They're those, the chutim that you find there are chaylev problems. The other, those that you find in the front legs, udelua, lua means in the cheeks, Mishum Dhamma, those chutin are because of blood. My nafkimina, Hanadi Mishum Dhamma, Imchatech Lahu Malachu Shabadami, Hanach Les Lutakanta. Morris is a big nafkimina. If the chutin are because of chaylev, then you have no takana. You have to make sure to remove them. If you don't remove them, you're in tzaris. However, those are Mishum Dam, you don't have to remove them. Like Rabbi Cohen said before, just make sure that you find those chutin, cut them, do a nice malicha. And then all the dam will come out. That's why it's
so
important.
They're different. One might be a nerve's ending, the other one just a vein.
We call it all threads, but I'm sure you know the people in anatomy will call this sinews, mit veins, mit arteries, mit quais, mit membranes, the other chush of a name.
But if you have to check each vein and.
You don't check each vein, you only
why are those veins different than the veins all over there?
Everything's based on the Masoichah. Whatever they had that Masoichah has, this has to come out. That's what they did. What was decided was Chaylev. Even Chaylev had different Manhog in different communities, so it wasn't consistent throughout everybody.
There, it's Ashkenaz.
Exactly. Yeah. Anyway, so bottom line is when you which chutim, which threads do you have to be worried about? Not every single thread that passes through the body. The Gab is right, you'd be busy with that ganze tug and a ganze nacht. But those that are from the spleen, and those from the flanken, and those from the kidney, you have to worry about tzchelet. Those which are the front legs, as well as in the back and in the cheeks, those because of that. Omrav kana mi simrav Yehuda, chamisha karmi hava. A karmi krum means a membrane, a thin membrane that you find in the body. Plus, you have five of them all together. Plus, mishim tarba, three of them are osir al tzchelet, but three mishim doma, two because of blood. The tachli, the kafli, the kuli, also mishim tarba. We had like the same list as before. The tchol is the spleen, kafli are the flankin, kuliyasa are the kidneys. Those membranes are full of chaylev. Make sure to remove them. The bay means the testicles of the animal, from a male animal, obviously. Udemukra, Rashi says it means sha'ala moyach, the krum sha'ala moyach of the skull. Mishim doma, for those that eat the skull, very few people would eat it anyway, but just in case you are eating it, make sure to remove that krum, mishim doma, because of blood. Rav Yehuda bar Oishia have a kakolif le tachla le lady bereid Rav Huna bar Chia. Rav Yehuda bar Oishia, he was kakolif le, he was peeling off, he was removing tachla, the krum which is on the tchoil of the spleen, le lady bereid Rav Huna bar Chia, on behalf of Levi, the son of Chia bar Huna. Rav Huna bar Chia have a kagoyim le me'iloi. So as Rav Yehuda bar Oishia was removing it, he wasn't doing a job of doing it a deep cut and a deep incision, but rather he was just taking off the surface chaylev, the surface krum on top of the tchayl. Omalei, so when Levi Bereid Rav Huna bar Chia saw this, after all he's doing it on his behalf, he told him, please chavas beitzvei, go deeper in it, you know, kratzos, go deep into the tchayl, into the spleen, to remove every little piece of chaylev, not just doing a superficial job up above. Osavua, now the father of Levi Bereid Rav Huna bar Chia, meaning Rav Huna bar Chia, came on the scene, Ashkechei, and he found his son. Omalei told his son, Hachi Omar Avua the Imech, this is what your grandfather said, Mishum de Rav, Umanu, and what was the name of his grandfather, Rav Yirm bar Abba, the Osotoyra Elish Aladad Buvad. The Torah only answered the chaylev which was on the dat. Now, here we're talking about a tchoil, we're not talking about a dat. But the Gemara means it figuratively, dat means just like a dat protrudes. Here too, the only chaylev you have to worry about is the chaylev that protrudes on top of the tchoil, not chaylev which is deep into the tchoil. So therefore, what Rav Yehuda bar Oishia did, by peeling off the chaylev on top, that was enough. He doesn't have to be such a machmir and going deep, dig deep down. After all, this is not a construction project. You just have to remove the chaylev shel adat. Zokti mor eini, when the son asked his father, v'omer avamnuna, tana, we learned krum she'al atchoyl osir v'ein chayovin olav. Krum, the membrane, which includes the chaylev, she'al atchoyl is osir, v'ein chayovin olav. So we had this expression the Gemara already yesterday. When it says osir v'ein chayovin olav, it means it's osir midrabanon, but you're not chayiv minatoyr. Minatoyr, there's no din of karis on this chaylev. But the chacham were machman, they said, be careful about the krum shal atchoyl. So fake yimar, hey chidami, which krum shal atchoyl are we talking about, which is only osir midrabanon, but it's, and but not chayiv minatoyr. Ilem shal adad, you mean the chaylev all the way on top, which is protruding, amay ein chayovin olav. That zikha we said, yevada chayiv, like Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba said before, we also Torah elish al dad b'vod, avada that chaylev and that krum on top of the tchoyl, the chavad also min at Torah. Ela tekule, with this brad, no, we're not talking about a kule, we're talking about a tchoyl. What Rav Humnuna said, Tana, that we learn krum shal at tchoyl, also bein chayyav and olav, what he means to say is, all the rest of the chaylev sha'al at tchoyl, not the chaylev shal at dad, shal at dad, which means the one like on a mound which is protruding on top, but all the rest of the chaylev is also asur midrabana, not minatoyre. And that being the case, one does have to scratch out and kratzos and dig in and get out every little bit of chaylev, although it's not asur minatoyre, le yosur toyre el aladad, but midrabana it's asur. On Malays, the father told the son, itan yitan, as a shteta zay, In other words, I was under the impression that the Chacham didn't add any additional harchokas and additional gzeirais, and therefore, you're right, we have to take out every little bit of chaylev, even chaylev which is deep into the tchay. Gufa, we learned Omer Avamluna Tana, state the Braisa, we learned the Braisa, Krum Shal Tchoil, Oslein Chayom and Olav. The krum, which is on top of the tchoil, the membrane on top of the tchoil, on top of the spleen, awesome mid rabbanon, bein chayav anot. And again, we don't mean the chayav, which is really on top, aladad, that's awesome in atoyrim. What we mean is when it's lower into the tchoil, into the spleen, that's also awesome mid rabbanon. And similarly, krum shal gabi kulia, if you have a membrane on top of the cloyos, which is on top of the kidneys, also awesome, bein chayav anot, also mid rabbanon. Feiti mor batanya, chayav and olav, it states that you are chayv kores on both sha'alat choyl and shal gabi hakulia. You just said now that ein chayav and olav in both cases, choyl and kulia. The Braisa said on both cases chayav and olav. Says you want choyl and choyl and kasha on the spleen and the shkakasha keneged adad. It's like keneged adad, like we said before. If it's like on the mound protruding on top, min atoyra chayav and olav kores. If it's lower down, no chiyuv kares. Kulia kulia, not the kasha. It's also similar to it. So below habitato, the upper chaylev is taka awesome and atzayda chayav and olav. The lower chaylev is the rabbanon and chayav and olav. Bei chashulta. What says bei chashulta? Says Rashi, three lines at the bottom. Bei zochar hamurim begufay. That means that these are testicles which unfortunately have been detached from the normal chutim to which they are connected inside the sac. However, they're still inside the sac. In other words, they haven't been surgically removed. They haven't even deteriorated to the point that they become like a liquid. They're still there, but they're swimming around within the sac in which you would normally find the testicles. So now the question is whether the osur al aver min hachai. Why would the osur mishum aver min hachai? Because even though they are still attached to the body of the animal within the sac, but since they are detached, the Gemara assumes, at least according to one man, the Omar, that they no longer have any chayis, any chayis. If you remember, we had a similar Gemara earlier on, the Gabi, in Avraham Meduldul. Avraham Meduldul was also a limb which was technically still attached to the body of the animal, but it was already limping and hanging. So we had the same type of shaila, if a person were to eat from it before the shechita, after the shechita, they have a dinner of Avraham Meduldul.
We also had the case when a person went inside and cut the tchol, it doesn't make the animal a treifa, and the shechita is metahir or not for achila, right? Then we have that also, that's a parallel question already?
We had a parallel question, that they left the tchol inside, they didn't take it out.
Right.
And so Mara said that part of the if it's babahema, if it's gabe the shlil, then it's kosher, the gabe the tchol, it would be even menachai, the shechita of the animal would not help.
So even though it's inside the animal.
Even though it's inside.
So isn't this parallel?
Yes, very similar. Yeah.
So how do they go and decide what's considered even menachai? What's the basis?
Oh, so it's like a machloikis. It's beich hashulta. Revami bravasi. Chad osa v'chad shari. Machloikis. Man, the one that is osa middle kobarion. Because he says, unfortunately, this will never heal. These testicles will not reattach to the chutim to which they were originally attached. Therefore, this is going to remain a dead piece of weight inside the animal's body. It's like an Eivim Menachai. And therefore, even after the Shechita, you won't be able to eat from it because this Eivim no longer has chayis from the animal. So what about the other man? The other man, the Shari, Midlay Komes Sa'archon, Hanei Chiyusa Isbo. By the fact that they have not developed a sirchon, sirchon both means a stench, but here it means also that it doesn't rot, it doesn't disintegrate, it stays within the sac of the animal, within the liquid, whatever, inside the pouch. And the chiyus isbu, there's still chayis in the animal. So inachrami, it won't heal, it won't go back to its original way it was supposed to be, but it still has a chayis, still being kept alive, kept intact from the sack in which it's lying.
So why was the same thing regarding the other piece of tchol also?
That's talking about it's cut off. So that's just going to disintegrate. It won't have the benefit of any chayis. This, since it's within the sack where testicle usually is,
preserved from deteriorating, even though it's not living, it's not deteriorating.
It's hermetically sealed. And in fact, the Mordechai says, And you know why it is not causing a stench? Because the avir, the ear can't get to it, because it's hermetically sealed within that sac.
That hole also was sealed.
Apparently not. I mean, I finished an anatomist, but apparently not. The other man, the Yoma, says, even though it's not going to heal, it's only because it has a weakness in these testicles. The testicles are still alive and they're still getting nourishment from the body. However, there's a weakness because of the fact that they've been detached. It's not even menachai. See, machloik is whether it's yoiv menachai, nishay menachai. Amr b'yechon Rav Shimon bar Abba hay b'yechashilta, ones that we just spoke about, hani b'yechashilta, these testicles which have been detached, sharyon, mitzad hadin, they are mutter. But says Rav Yoichon, Rav Shimon bar Abba, the atli techol, but you should not eat from them. So Rashi says, because where Rav Shimon bar Abba came from, the minhag hamokim was that they were noyeg li'isur. And so therefore, even though we, l'halacha l'maisa, we hold it's mutter, but since in your community the minhag was it's asur, you should continue to follow the minhag of your community, of your mokim, and don't go and eat. Omar mar bar Vashi, hani be'e degadja, the testicles of a gedi, atlosin yoimin sharian, beloy klipa. Meaning that if you cut open a yushecht a gedi, he of course is a young goat, but Rashi says labdaf gedi, the same thing applies to all the young animals. If you go and shecht it, and adlos and yuman until 3 days, the bay, the testicles of the gedi, sharian blay klipa. You don't have to worry about removing the krum which is on top of them. Why? As we'll see in the Gemara, the problem is a problem of dam, of blood. And the krum, like we had in the Gemara before, some of the membranes you had to be concerned about chaylet, some about dam. Here the krum shall gabi abeyim, you have to worry about dam. But until the first 30 days, you can eat from these bayim even without removing the klip of the krum on top. Bikan the eilech. However, subsequently, he is run asuran b'iloy is run sharia. What does the Gemara mean? So Rashi says that during the first 30 days, the dam was not nivla be'evarav. We find the same concept, lahavdil, by a child, a human child, a baby boy that's born, that sometimes you see the moil will look at the baby and say, you can't do the bris yet. And the reason is because the dam is not nivla be'evarav. The dam hasn't had a chance really to be absorbed and to soak into all the Ebarim. It's still kind of shallow. And the problem is, if they're going to go and do a bris milah on the eighth day, chulil b'chas, you could have a big, big problem on your hands. Therefore, the Gemara Lahabdil is saying the same thing. The behemoth, the first 30 days, the dam is not nivla inside Ebarim. And therefore, you don't even have to remove the krum, because apparently the blood hasn't gotten to those beim yet. They're dispersed and scattered in other parts of the body. So until 30 days, you don't have to worry. Shari and blood clip.
So how come you have a bruise?
So there you have to make sure that it's not okay. That's why you have a moil that looks at
so
it.
So you have 8 days, you know.
Or here it says, well, the anatomy of animal apparently is different than the anatomy of... That's why by animals, they talk not knowing to do a bris for 30 days. They're very careful about that.
You have to throw that in.
Answer your question. Your question. Shvera kasha.
No, it tells you something.
After the 30 days are over, he is run. If you see that the bayim have developed zera, meaning keri, then asura, then it's asur. Eloi Yisran, but if it doesn't develop keri yet, then a shari, then it's still mutter. Meaning that you see that this animal is now in the process of development, and therefore, if it already came to the point that it already had zera, it's a simon that already had dam, and therefore you'd have to be worried about the krum or shal gabi bayim. Without doing a scientific telescope, microscope, the DNA, and all the rest, how can you go and tell if the dam is nivla or not? If there are such red stripes there inside the bayim, then you know it's also, because then you see that the dam is taka nivla. That's what shiraki sumki. If you don't find any of these red stripes or red streaks, shari, and then it's mutter. Okay. Umtzi bei umizriki pligi barav achav ravina. Umtzi always means a piece of meat. But we'll see in the Gemara shortly what type of piece of meat. It was very red. And the question is, how did it get so red? About the mazain. Beim at the testicles, and Mizraki. Rashi says Mizraki is the same thing as the Vereen that we had back in the second, third parak, the Vereen in the arteries inside the neck of either an animal or of a bird. Anywhere you have over there Vereen with such thick arteries with a lot of blood. So Umzi Beyu Mizraki, Pligi Barav Achav Ravin. Machloik is exactly what the halacha is. The Gemara is going to develop more exactly what the Metzias is. But the Baal is the Machloik of Achav Ravina. Are they mutter to eat? Are they not mutter to eat? Do you have to remove them? Do you have to cut them? Do you have to be molech them? Says the Gemara, V'cholot erikul Ravina lekul Rav Acha lechumra. B'derech klal, when you have Machloik of Ravina Rav Acha, you'll find that Ravina is usually the Mekel and Rav Acha is usually the Machmer. And typically, it looks like Ravina lekul. And typically, we pass like Ravina, who's Mekel against Rav Acha. Rabar mihani plas, except for these three, the Umtzi, Bei, Mizraki, Rav Acha lekul, Ravina lechumra. Here, the roles are reversed. Rav Acha is the Mekel and Ravina is the Machmer. The Hilchasak Rav Acha lekul. However, we still paskin lekul. So even though here it's Rav Acha, instead of Ravina, Abel Maizi, just like Kol HaTorah Kul is the Kula, here we paskin also the Kul. Now, getting back to the Umtza. What's the look of the Umtza? Umtza, the Asmik, if you find an Umtza which is very red, meaning every piece of meat is red, but this has a more red than usual, could be as a result of some veins or some arteries that broke open, or maybe had some sort of sickness, or whatever, it's a very red piece of meat. What you have to do is, if you want to be able to go and eat from it, and you're concerned about that this is a bloody piece of meat, you have to go and cut it up, and then you do malicha, then it's okay, as long as you cut it before you did the salting. What happens if you hung it up on a spit, like when you see they're roasting or barbecuing, they put on such spits, then it's also doyev dama. Then it's also good because the heat down below is going to draw out the blood, and that's why you constantly see how the blood is dripping inside those roasting ovens when it's on the spit.
Wait a second. We talk about malicha, we always talk about the blood on top of the meat. We don't talk about the inside. If you take a piece of meat and you go and you barbecue it, and it's all black from barbecuing, then you cut it, what comes out is called umso. It's not called dam anymore.
Yes, so we're not disagreeing.
So why do you care if it's red or whatever it is? You only talk about the outside blood, that's also. Once you do the mlich already, the outside blood is removed, and what's inside, or it's called seer, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. What's that called, da?
Yeah. Well, the more thing over here is that in the first case, when you're doing the kdeira, you have to cut it and you have to do mlich. If you're putting it on the shpud, then you don't even have to do the chaticha or melicha, but you only do a melicha tzli dover mut. The Gemara says elsewhere that even for tzli, you put a little bit of salt. You don't have to do the major salting that you do for kedera purposes. Perhaps a symbolic amount of salt. The Gemara is saying over here, even though this umtzit asmik, even though it's more red than usual, if you want to cook it, then make sure you do a proper cutting and proper melicha. If you're however putting it on the spit and you're roasting it, then you do your normal symbolic amount of salting, but you don't have to cut it, you don't have to do a heavy salting, because doev dama, the blood will drip out as a result of the roasting process. Now the question is, gumri, what happens if you took this red piece of meat, and instead of putting it in a pot, and instead of hanging it from a spit, you put it directly on top of charcoal, on top of coals. So now the question is, yes, as Rabbi Cohen said a moment ago, it becomes all black and all the rest. The question is, does that also draw out the blood or not? The pligi b'Rav Acha b'Ravina, taka Rav Acha b'Ravina, which we just had, is machloik is chad mishav she'ivi lei, chad omar mitzmis tzamtzi lei. Aha. The machloik is mishav she'ivi lei, does the gumri, the hot cold, does that have the same effect of the spit and it draws out the blood and therefore you're allowed to eat afterwards this umtza? Or the other man, the Yama says, no, by the fact that you put it on top of the coals, mitzvah samsile, it has a tendency of shrinking, and if anything, the blood remains inside, and it doesn't come outside. In fact, Rashi says, v'nitzle b'soichai, the roasting helped not only to make the meat black from the two sides, it even helped to go and roast the blood which is within the meat and leave it inside. Therefore, you're now eating blood inside the meat.
But it's roasted blood, and we have a principle of blood that's roped, that's affected by fire or salt is no longer as Torah's dam, don't we? That if it's roasted, if the blood is roasted, it doesn't have the Isser of Achilles dam.
The reason why there's no achilas iser achilas dam is because as a result of the roasting, the blood comes out, not because the blood remains inside and you've roasted it. Mm-hmm. What the Gemara is saying is over here, the result of this roasting on top of the charcoals, maybe the blood has not come out and it's less than inside. It got sealed inside and now
seared.
Whatever. Fine. Anyway, bottom line is, that's why there's a machlokes. One man the Yoma says that in fact the blood continues to be drawn out, even not on a spit, but on top of coals, and the other one says, no, it is seared, and it stays in, and it doesn't come out, and it's osir. Anyway, machlokes, that's a machlokes between Rebacha and Ravina, and the Gemara said before, we paskin lehochot. V'chein, the same shayla that you had, legabe this, to the asmik, same thing applies to bay, to the testicles, v'chein vizriki, to these veridin, same type of thing, that if you want to go and cook it, make sure to go and cut it open in advance and do a nice malicha. If you're putting on a spit, put at least a malicha kolshu, a malicha ma'at. And if you're putting it on top of the coals, you're going to have a machloikim between Rebach and Rebina if it's kusher or not.
It's shulchan aruch. That's my varidin.
Yeah, my varidin, yeah.
You don't have to cut.
You don't have to cut.
You don't. It's only by where you do barbecuing, because when by the behemoth, eventually cutting down the meat already, so you're cutting the gidi down, so it's gonna come out.
Okay.
By a bird or something, like your barbecue or something, then you're doing everything as a whole. So the chances are that you're not cutting much, that the blood should come out, so therefore by yoifus, by anything that's going to be tzayla, like a lamb, whatever it is, then you have to cut barit.
Okay, good. Anyway, on the Gemara by Teresha B'Kivsha, Oyisve Abesa Shchita, Dai Yevdoma B'Shari, Atzidon and mikvah coffee the osir. You have the roish meaning the head of the animal. You want to eat from the roish of the animal. Now, initially you have a problem that on the animal's head there's a lot of hair. Hair is not such, people don't typically like eating the hair. So how do you remove the hair? So Rashi says, if you look at Rashi, Reisha B'Kivsha, Rashi is about a third down the Amud, Reisha B'Kivsha, a roish, Kishiroitzin L'Hasir Sara, if you want to remove the here, noisen olav mayim. First, you have to go and pour water over it. Matmin oisim beremetz, and then you cover it up beremetz with hot ash, as by putting on the water, putting on the hot ash. That apparently removes the hair. Try it out sometimes and let us know. Anyway, the word bekivsha doesn't mean nothing to do with a lamb. It's not a keves, but rather kivsha means it's kovush. Says Rashi, kivsha hatmana. It's covered over by the hot ash, which is called remetz. Okay, and now it's standing there, and you want to know what the story is with the blood which is inside the head of the animal. It's oisvei habeis hashchita, if you put it right side up, in other words, put the head and the hair up to the top, habeis hashchita and the dayav doma, bishari. Then the blood will drain from down below, from where you cut the animal when the shchita was done, and so therefore the blood will drain, bishari, it'll be mut. However, atzadadr, if you were to go and take the head and put it on the side, not standing up, but sideways, then the problem is you have blood which is inside the animal. Mikvah coffee, that blood, instead of coming out, is going to congeal, and it's going to stay inside the ulcer, and that will remain ulcer. So therefore, you have to make sure that you put it right side up. Now, what happens if oisvei anachire, what happens if you placed it not on right side up, and not on the side, meaning on the cheeks, but rather you put it on the side, on the chirim, on the nostrils. Since it's on the nostrils, dots bei midi shari, if you go and stick something into the nostrils to make sure that they don't get clogged up, it'll be mutter, because then we will assume that the blood will have a chance to drain through the nostrils. Shari, viloi, but if you don't put something inside the nostrils, and I'm afraid that the nostrils will get clogged and the blood will stay inside. Therefore, then it will be awesome.
What's the story with the hair on the skin? The hair?
Yeah.
What about the hair? Is that a problem or not?
The hair? It's not really edible, the hair.
No, but the question is about the soaking and salting.
Uh-huh.
Because, practically speaking, they used to take caspi with the skin on, the hair on it, and soap and salted. They remove the hair. So the question is, you know, it does the hair prevent the blood from coming out during the bleach? Why not? I don't know why they use that process. They never skinned it, because if they skinned it, they always skinned it with hot water or something. So therefore, the mavasho.
I see.
So therefore, they always soap and salted with skin on it, with the hair on it, and there was no problem.
Presumably, they asked somebody.
Basish. Anyway, Ika the Amid, there's another version which is similar but different. If you put the head either on the nostrils or on the base of shechita standing up, then in fact the blood will drain. That's done. If you put it on the side, meaning on the cheeks, the face of the animal, there too you have an Eitzah. If you puncture a hole, then Shari, then it's okay. But if not, Asif. In other words, you have to make sure there's a drain for the blood to be able to leave, because if the blood gets stuck inside the nostrils, inside the animal, inside the head, etc., inside the cheeks, then you have a problem of congealing blood, and it would be awesome. So make sure it drains properly. Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, Shnei Gidin Hein. There are two different types of Gidin. This is referring to the Gid HaNoshe. What are the two? Hapanim Misamach Le'etzem. We had this already a couple of days ago on Shabbos. One of them is the pnimi, which is next to the bone, which is aser, chayav and olav. Chitzit samach lebaser, aser v'en chayav and olav. There are two types of gid. The part of the gid, which is the pnimi. Pnimi means that part which is in between the legs of the animal. As you know, the gid goes over the top part of the thigh bone, and it branches out. So the Gemara is saying that part that branches towards the inside of the animal, meaning that it's in between the legs. If you were to go and cut open the animal, you'd see that this gid is towards the inner part, inside the legs where the animal is walking. That's samach le'etzem, that finds itself very close to the bone, and that's asim in atoyah. Chiyav and olav, and therefore you get a chiyav malkis if you were to go and eat from that gid anash. Chitzit samach le'basa, however, if you're talking about the other part of the gid, which is already on the outside meaning the outside of the leg towards the ear, not towards the inner part of the animal, but towards the outside of the animal, and also that would be also ain chayav alav, meaning that that's only derabanan and not minatayde. That's why there's no chayav malchus. So how did we make a how did we describe the difference between the panimi and the chitzain? The panimi is samach leetzem, and the chitzain is samach lebasa. Right above Tanya, you have a braisa. Panimi samach lebasa. You said panimi is samach leetzem. Here I see the panimi is samach lebasa. It's close to the flesh of the animal, not to the bone. Rebachim of Kahana, ikludi miklid. The word ikludi means a mafteach. It means a key. So what does it mean? It's a key. So Rashi says that the gid enters the body just like a key enters into a lock. Meaning at certain points it's over the basar, but at certain points it goes deep into it like a key goes into a lock. And then it goes onto the etzem, onto the bone. So if you look at Rashi, ikludi miklud, about 3-4 lines higher than our Gemara. Oise gid ha'oruch, choiz v'nichnas v'basar, v'hasem kar lei samach l'basar. Ikludi lashon mafteach ha'nichnas b'poisachas. It's a key that goes into the lock. Here too, this gid goes in and out. At certain points it's next to the etzem, certain points it's next to the basar. Right tomorrow.
He has a tongue.
Sometimes it's here, sometimes it's there. Sometimes it's to the right, sometimes to the left. Right. Also the same thing by the gid. Sometimes near the basa, sometimes near the etzem. Right tomorrow about Tanya. Chitzin asamach etzem. We just envered the masa with the panimi samach etzem and panimi samach basa. Now we're talking about the chitzin. Before we said that chitzin asamach basa. Here it says chitzin samach etzem. The point of the chayla, not the chayla, the gid that has to be removed, that's the point where the tabachim, where the butchers know the pari, where they have to go and pull it off. In other words, the tabachim, the butchers, they know where that is. So if you look at Rashi, the pari tafchi, just parallel to our Gemara, have the giloi b'mokim chatach hayerech, it's goloi, it's disclosed. It's revealed. Where you cut up the thigh, have gid kach. Even Rashi says, you know, he never really saw it. This is what I heard from the Tabachim, that what is this part of the gid that you're talking about, that's Samach Le'etzem, that's the part which is revealed when you cut open the Yerach, when you spread it off and you remove it from the Aliyah. Aliyah is the tail at the end. And Rav Yosher is the gid. That beginning of the gid, Mechubar, it's attached to the Bukesh HaKulia. Bukesh HaKulia is one of the joints of the thigh bone, or next to the knee. Kach Shemati, that's where it's Samach Le'etzem. Okay. Itma, back to the Gemara. Tabach shenimtza chelev achrav. What happens if you have a butcher whose job is to cut up the meat and to do nikur? Nikur is to triberin, which means to remove all the chelev and all the gidin. Guess what? After he finished cutting it up, nimtza chelev achrav. We found that he didn't do a good job. There was still some chelev left in the animal. He didn't do a good job. Yehuda Omar dikisoira. So now we have a machloikis first, what's the shear of chelev that was left. Yehuda says, even if it's a kisoira, kisoira is very, very small, as we know, but Rabbi Yochanan says, kikazai is a larger shear. Yeah, about gabi what? What's the nafkimina? And the Rabbi Hubba Vlepleg is no machloikis between the two, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yochanan. Kan li halkoisai, kan li ovrai. Question is, whether you give him malkis, or whether you maver him. Maver means that you remove him from his position. So Rashi is kind of al koisa bekazayis. To give him malkis for leaving over this additional chaylev, we give malkis if there was a full kazayis. If it was only kisoira, we won't give him patch, but we'll remove him from the position and he should become a malamit.
No,
he shouldn't be the tabach anymore.
In Shulchan Aruch it says that the malamit, you say for a certain time, there's tshuva, whatever it is, but not.
Then we can take him back again?
Yeah,
it's any time prison does tshuva. Either the Baruch Shem
takes it. So why are you over here? You make him a malamed?
I'm just saying, he's just doing that to dramatize in case anybody's falling asleep in the middle of all this chayiv and all this dam. So we just throw in something. But boy, I see some people listening.
So they don't teach nikkur.
Ah, exactly. Om Marzutra kisa oira b'makim echad kizayis afilu beiz v'gim makaymas. Marzutra is saying that we gave the shear before about kisa oira and kizayis, kisa oira b'makim echad has to be kisa oira in one place. Kizayis, even if it's spread out and scattered in two or three different places for purposes of giving the malchus. Vilchasa, aloch lemaisis lahalkoisa bikizayis laomer bikisoira, like the Gemara said before, that the shear of kizayis to give malchus to him for leaving over the chaylev, but to be mavrim afila e kisoira. Okay, back to our Mishnah. It's in the Mishnah, Eina debochen ne'emonim. This was again at the beginning of the Perek. It said, a machloikis in our Mishnah, where the mayor said, "Ena tabochen ne'monim al gira nosha tivre mayor," because removal of the gira nosha is a very deep and intricate and difficult avoider. Says Rameir, you cannot trust the butchers. In other words, make sure you do it yourself or re-inspect it to make sure the tabochen did a good job. You can't trust them. Chomayim ne'monim olav, we do trust them, and the chum add the alachel. We also trust them for the chel. About the chaylev part, we're going to talk about later in the Gemara. But in this, at the moment, we have machloikis. Can you trust the tabochim on gira nosha, or can you not trust the tabochim on the gira nosha?
Why should you be choshed b'ksheirim? That's a butcher, and he's doing it. Why should you be choshed that he's not going to do it? What's the basis for the choshed?
We're not choshed that they're not going to do at all. We're afraid that they're not going to do a perfect job. Rashi said in the Mishnah, we cannot trust them that they took out the whole gira nosha. It's a tremendous tircha to be mechatit, to go and remove every last shtickel of gid. And remember, if you leave just a kisoira, you give them already, you already maver him, and it's kizayis, you give malkis. It's not easy. This is not an easy job. So even if he happens to be a real professional, a tzaddik, a kudish, nevertheless, Rabbi Cohen doesn't like Kodesh, only Bismigish. Anyway, the point is, you have to each time double check, re-inspect, get a second opinion, get a second hashkacha, make sure that it's absolutely 100% okay.
Today, we don't say they ain't on the morning because there is a tircha in the morning because they are not experts.
Good. Ochemis. A lot of the Masoira on the Chalovim and the Nikr and stuff like that, we have lost. And as a result, as Rabbi Cohen has told us many times, the hindquarters are usually not eaten by Jews. They don't even bother removing the chayim.
In Israel, they did it. They did it
anywhere. But instead, what would they give it to? They give it. You don't have to throw it out.
No. I was told that they did niku in Eretz Yisrael.
In Eretz Yisrael. But what about here in Chutz Lars?
Talk about the shechita first, where the shechita is doing it.
I'll never win. But do you agree that on the hindquarters that we don't eat it?
No.
We don't eat it. What do they do with it? They give it to the.
They sell it to the goyim.
They sell it to the goyim. Shana lady. Of course, at the Gabbas point, it was so difficult. They're not experts. We lost the Masoid over the years. The Sea Office. And then, it was a Gan Tzumel about 25, 30 years. We Gan Tzumel about the Tzatmer Ashgocha, the Nirbat Ashgocha, the Kasha Uruv made a Gan Tzumel that they found Chaylev over there. And the Gesapper said, let me see the Chaylev. And he didn't want to show it to him. It was a Gan Tzumel about it.
No, when they asked with Moshe Feinstein that Mice was ballpark.
Yeah.
He didn't tell him how to do Niku. He said, follow the minhag you had in Europe.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
He said, follow it, because it's different in Hagen. The rabbis from Eretz Yisrael came, they took a look, and they saw Niku was different.
Right.
And the two people went to Eretz Yisrael, what he called the Briska Dayan and another person, they saw Niku, and they didn't say anything, because they said, if we would say something, we'll be Mezalza B'Kovot Rishonim. So they didn't say anything. So they're all based on minhag.
All based on minhag. They're different Mekartis. Anyway, so getting back to our Mishnah, the Mishnah said, Ein Hatabochin Neman. Isn't Rav Chiya bar Abba Omer Yechanan? Chazulim in later generation they said Nemanim. They are believed that this is something which is almost hair raising. Omer Nachman, Ach Shedari. Do you say that the later generations are more machmed than the previous generations? In other words, the Gemara assumed as time went on, as we get further and further away from Har Sinai, that there becomes a greater tendency of laxity, as opposed to a greater stringency. So therefore, you're telling me the
later.
I'm sorry.
Exactly.
Not our generation, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
My father's from No. Our generation does fall away. It's just that you don't want to recognize it.
My father, as a friend of Bruch, used to say Avertu, that we learned the Toicha a couple of weeks ago, and it says in Svarim that all of the when Eden will mitchem will be good, then all of the Toichicha, all the clothes will be nepach lebracha. So someone asked, it says in Pasuk, that you're going to go and eat nepach, the flesh of your children. How is that going to be nepach lebracha? So my father used to say a vertel that, I don't think it was his, I think he was quoting from earlier generations. He says, the time will come here in America that parents will be able to eat at the from the flesh of their children. Years ago, unfortunately, it kept on going down. The parents couldn't eat in the homes of the children. The time will mitzvah will come that the parents will be able to eat the flesh in the and today's fakir that some of the children won't eat the flesh from their parents. Some
Rebbetzin Rudin Shalom used to tell my mother in Slobodka she was from. She didn't know she was a from till she came to
America.
Okay.
The flip side.
What's the flip side? She met this book by Dr. Yosef.
Yeah.
So never they were children came to America.
Yeah.
And they brought the parents over from Europe.
Yeah.
Come home, and in one case, the grandfather, but he did put on film, tell us in the house, was scaring the children.
Yeah.
And a lot of parents flew back to Europe because they couldn't deal with America.
Never.
It's changed, Baruch Hashem.
Anyway, yeah. Baruch Hashem, it's Chazal HaTaych. Exactly. So now, Fredi Mo Ach Shadari, I'll tell you what, Meikar Abba Sabra Lo Kerb Meir, we have a Mehemni, Psaif Sabra Kerb Yehuda, and that's why they were Mehemni. What does Gemara mean? Because earlier on we learned about the Yidden, that there's a machloek between a Meir and a Yehuda, how much you have to take out. So remember we had the Gemara yesterday that it said that the Meir held that you have to be mechatet achra b'chol mokim shehu. You have to be mechatet achra, you have to go deep inside and dig and take out every little piece of Yidden. Well, it said by the Rabbi Yehuda said that he was goymimai, he was just able to go goymimai mashoifi, make sure that the shallow surface part is removed. You didn't have to go so deep into it. So initially the Chacham had paskin like Remeir, but you have to go deep to take out every little pitzel of Gid. So therefore the Menachrim, the Tabachim, didn't do such a good job, because if you take out, you're supposed to take out 100%, and they only took out 95%. But afterwards they paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says you only have to be goy meshoif, you only have to remove the top part of it. You don't have to go mechatat achrav. No, since it was a more lenient standard, that they were able to meet that standard, and that wasn't the problem. And that's why, not that the dirtiness got better, but because they adopted more lenient standards, and therefore it was easier to be mekayim taking out the whole thing, whatever you had to take it. Others learned this same shtickel Torah on the sefer. Says right in the Mishnah, the Chum Oimrim Nemanim Olav Alechel. The Chum disagree with the Tanakam, with Rameir, and they say, no, you're Neman. Omer Pchi Barab, Omer Bihechanan, Chazru Loimar, a later generation, they said, Ein Nemanim, that you cannot trust the Shochtim or the Tabachim in doing a good job of the Nikur. Omer Nachum Bismana Zen Nemanim. Rav Nachman said it's now switched around again. The pendulum keeps on swinging back and forth. At the time of the Mishnah, it said Nemanim. Rabbi Yochanan said his generation ain't Nemanim. Rav Nachman says with Manas ain't our generation, you're Nemanim. So Frankie Monoch will ask Shadari. In the times of the Mishnah, they held like Rabbi Yehuda that you don't have to be Mechatad Achrav. You only have to do from on top. Good. That's why he said Nemanim. Later on, they changed their mind. They said, no, that's be like a may. You have to be mechatad achrav. Is a bazoi, since you have mechatad achrav, make sure to do a proper job and remove everything. But the tabachim, although the new psak had come out, the paschal grameir, the old tabachim still had their old ways, and they continued to do like Rabbi Yehuda, that they only did the top, notwithstanding the piske din of the rabbanan. So they kept on remembering the old firach, the old minig like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore they were not believed that they took out the whole thing, because they were all doing like the lenient standards of Rabbi Yehuda and not the more stringent standards of the man. But now it's already a new generation. In other words, now people have already forgotten Rabbi Yehuda's psak. In other words, it's already become de rigueur to follow Remeh's psak, and if from heavenly now we do believe again the Tabachim, that they do a good job of the Nikur. Finally, the Mishnah says at the end, remember the Tanakhama said that we do not trust the Tabachim on Gid. Said Chacham Nemanim Olav the Ala Chaylev. Not only do we believe him on Gid, but also on Chaylev. What about Remeh? He didn't even mention Chaylev. We didn't mention the word Chaylev in the Mishnah. Hachiko Amar. You have to add that Rav Meir is talking about ein neman olav the alachel. We don't believe him either for the gid nor for the chaylev. Chamayim no neman olav the alachel. We daka believe the tabachim both for removal of the gid and asha and for the chaylev.
So it tells that there was no mezgiah, because if there is a mezgiah.